Hello, everybody. I am B. Javine, aka The Terrible Australian, and welcome to the latest episode of Super Podcast. And with me, as always, is my co-host, the one, the only, Super Marcy. Hello, Marcy. How are you?
Hey, not too bad. Been under the weather, as is the case with me, every single day of the year. But doing okay right now, so that's why we're able to record. And how are you, Bede?
I'm not too bad, Marcy. I've been very busy since the last time we've recorded a podcast together.
Yes, you've had MIF, and now you've got family visiting.
Yeah, and also I did other little things, like I did a filmmaking course, and I helped my filmmaking teachers out by shooting some stuff for some auditions for his short film, and also I just began a new job. So, yeah, I've been pretty busy as of late, Marcy.
Yeah, I've been pretty busy too, as I started a new job as well, working for Monster Pictures and running the Monster's Eye section of their website. So, yeah, go to monsterpictures.com.au and, yeah, go visit the Monster's Eye where we are, well, mainly me, still, having someone else helping out a little bit. Yeah, mostly lots of film news and trailers and posters and stuff like that for all sorts of upcoming films with mainly, you know, sort of horror or action-y, anything that kind of fits the monster bill. And we're definitely trying to get a lot of news out there on independent films. So it's not just about the monster product, it's about everything. So, yeah, it's turning into a nice little hub for horror community and, you know, the genre community. So, yeah, pretty good stuff. Thought I'd just give that a bit of a plug.
Indeed, I've had read a few obvious stuff from the website, Marcy, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, trying to keep it fun and cool and interesting. So, yeah.
Especially your latest articles as well, which is talked up about a certain actor playing Batman, but, you know, we won't go into that. But
yeah, I'm not in the mood to, like, go on a rampage against fanboys right now, but yeah.
I think we could rave for hours about fanboys, but you know, that's a whole entire different podcast.
Yeah, I mean, the internet is just full of that one particular story and it's just getting annoying and yeah.
Yep.
We'll not go into that. If you want to know my thoughts, there is an article at supermarcy.com and there's also a feature at Monster Pictures that I wrote that you can check out if you want to read about it. That's all we'll say about that.
Yep, and if anyone wants to know about my thoughts on the whole subject, just find a picture of somebody giving the finger, and that's just my response to the whole situation.
It's been just a bit crazy. I think the fanboys really have just gone in overload. Middle finger to them.
Yeah, we might do an entire podcast about this very subject later on, but other than that, Marcy, isn't there a very important question you wanted to ask me?
There is. Bede, why are you a terrible Australian for this episode of the podcast?
Marcy, I'm a terrible Australian because I have seen Sharknado on the big screen.
Oh, was it enough that you had to go see Sharknado? You had to see it on the big screen.
Yeah, well, it's one of those once-in-a-lifetime opportunities. But you can't. It's like a solar eclipse. It's one of those things that only happens every couple of years, but when it happens, you have to see it. And to me, Sharknado is that solar eclipse that you can't help but not look away from, even though it is completely and utterly awful.
So did you have fun at least going to watch the awful movie?
I did have fun, but I would have loved if I was one of the bigger audiences, because there was like only four other people in the cinema with me.
Oh, really? That would have been pretty funny.
Yeah, well, I suppose, you know, anyone who wanted to see the movie went to the pretty much like the first or second screening, I suppose. So yeah. I went to the very last one, and I still enjoyed it for what it is, as the awfulness as a movie with the title of Sharknado can possibly be. Although there are some funny moments, like Tara Reid, is her acting in this movie is the equivalent of the mum from Troll 2.
Wow.
And her facial expressions every time something bad happens is, like, hysterical, which, you know, she's trying to emote, but all that plastic surgery has made her unable
to. That poor girl.
Yes. And even though she's, like, playing a character who has, like, two full-grown children, even though she's, like, not in her mid-30s yet, which is kind of weird. But anyways.
Awesome.
You definitely know when a movie is, like, none of the cast members in this movie is taking it seriously at all, but a certain character in the movie dies, and instead of, like, screaming at the top of their lungs that they're being eaten by a shark, all they can muster up is, ah, ow, ow.
That hurt, man.
I was like, ow. I'm not exaggerating, but that was the exact tone.
I don't doubt you for a second.
Yes.
Yikes.
But it's Sharknado on the big screen. And yes, I do not regret seeing that movie on the big screen.
Awesome. And on that note, we'll go into our topic, which is just recent movies that we've seen. So you've got some myth things to talk about. I'll just go into two films that I actually wrote a review for that played at myth. So I'll go into that because it's very brief. One I checked out is a documentary called Downloaded, which is about Napster. If you don't remember Napster, it was like the big internet phenomenon of sharing music files.
Mm-hmm.
So that sort of predated like people like sharing movie files and stuff like that. So yeah, it's pretty much about... I think it was his name, Sean Fanning and Sean Parker, who founded Napster.
Yep.
And it pretty much, it's from their point of view. So it tells their story, what their aims were with Napster and what happened as things went on. It was interesting to hear like why they came up with it in the first place and the reactions to it. It is biased because it's kind of their point of view.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't really have any of the other stuff. There is a bit of like Metallica, how they fought against what was happening and stuff like that, but it's not too much. I think that kind of stuff would, you know, that's a whole different movie. But it's worth checking out if it comes up, because it's pretty interesting, especially if you kind of remember that time. And, you know, that was kind of when the internet was really taking off into homes, and you had your dial-up modems and stuff like that. So it definitely brought back a lot of memories.
Yeah, dial-up modems, which took like an hour to like upload a picture.
Yeah, those are the days.
Those were the days.
Yeah, and the really funny thing is the movie was directed by Alex Winter, who people probably remember from Bill and Ted.
Indeed. I was actually kind of surprised when I found out about it, even though he has directed movies before.
He has, but, yeah, this kind of documentary, I found that really interesting. And, yeah, interesting to see where his career's gone. You know, from doing that, he's gone into filmmaking and documentary filmmaking. So, yeah, pretty interesting. Yeah, I'd recommend checking it out if it comes up. And, yeah, the other film, which is, this is one that you saw as well, is the Lovelace biopic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I thought it was fine. Like, it's a really watchable film. I think it's kind of very typical biopic-y, and it's one of those things that's a little confuses of what it wants to say, what it's trying to do, because it sort of tells you the story in one way, and then halfway through it tells you the same story, but in a different way, different point of view. So, yeah. I think the main thing that was appealing was pretty much the performances, because I think everyone did a pretty good job, like the main actors did. So, yeah, I mean, Amanda Seyfried's really, really, really good in it. Peter Sarsgaard, if you say his name, he's really good in it. And there's lots of interesting cameos, like Eric Roberts randomly shows up and I was cheering. Sharon Stone is unrecognisable in it.
And she was great as well.
Yeah, she's really good. So, I mean, I'd recommend checking it out if you've, I guess if you've ever had an interest in, like, Linda Lovelace or Deep Throat or her story, there's bits and pieces there. I don't think it's the greatest. It sort of is a bit typical and, yeah, it's a little muddled.
Streamlines through the whole events and all that, you know, like, as, you know, most biopics usually do.
I just felt, yeah, it was very muddled. So, I think I gave that like 3 out of 5 or 3.5. I can't remember, but yeah,
I think I gave it a 3.5. I think.
Yeah, I think it's quite watchable. It's just not as good as it perhaps could have been. If you want more of an inside story on Deep Throat, watch the documentary Inside Deep Throat.
Yeah, or do a double feature with both, I suppose.
Yeah, and you can even watch the original movie if you wanted to.
And that would be the most interesting triple feature of all time.
Well, yeah, not Inside Deep Throat, just Deep Throat actually screened on TV here on World Movies on Foxtel, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I take that, but I haven't had a chance
to. You would just sit there and be like, this isn't that exciting.
Although, you know, when you see, like, the movie version as well as the documentary, it's like, you're like, I suppose when you watch the final product of what these movies were about, it's like, it's not that great of...
Well, you just feel like, what? Okay. it is very tame by today's standards.
I'm still disappointed they haven't made, like, a biopic version of Debbie Does Dallas. But, you know, that's just me.
Yeah, maybe that'll happen one day.
Exactly.
Debbie Does Biopic. I don't know, that's really lame.
That'd be awesome time.
Yeah.
Yes.
I guess I could talk about a movie that screened at MIFF. I'm not sure I think it starts this week in limited release. I haven't had a chance to review it because I want to watch it again and sort of get my thoughts down a bit better. But I'm talking about Stoker, which all I'll really say is I loved it. It's probably going to be like one of my top movies of the year. It's very interesting. I think it hits on a lot of themes and yeah, it's just really beautifully made for such a disturbing subject matter. So if you like those sorts of like disturbing art housey type of movies, yeah, by all means, go check it out.
I haven't seen it yet, but it definitely has a very Hitchcockian vibe from what I've seen in the trailers.
Yeah, I would say it does.
But it's more like, I suppose, you know, when you have Chambers Park directed, it'd be Hitchcockian, but even more messed up, I suppose.
Yeah, it does touch on interesting themes, so yeah. I mean, I can understand people not liking it, but yeah, I definitely dug it a lot.
Cool.
And yeah, that's MIFF things that I've at least seen, wanted to talk about, so yeah.
Sweet.
Over to you for some MIFF.
Alrighty. I saw a lot of movies at MIFF this year. I think I saw about 23 films at MIFF.
Damn, boy.
That was a lot compared to last year, because I think I ended up seeing 17. But I saw a lot of good stuff this year. Definitely one of my favourite films I saw at MIFF this year was the Australian film The Turning.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the film... This is like a pretty ambitious film, because it's a 3-hour anthology film that's based on Tim Winton's book of the same name. And it sort of follows the lives of multiple characters over the course of 30 years in this small seaside town. It's like some stories are sort of self-contained and others do have characters that show up in other stories and that. But what's interesting about this film is that it's not all directed by one person, but there's like 17 stories and each one is directed by a completely different person. So they all have their own unique stamp on each of the stories. But what's interesting though, like each of these, like some stories are sort of done with no dialogue at all. Others that are dialogue driven. Some are visually stunning. Some are sort of pretty shot straightforward, and some are very abstract and arty. Like there's one in particular, one story that's done entirely in interpretive dance.
Nice.
Which is pretty interesting, but it's definitely one of those films that I can definitely see people being very perplexed by it, especially if you haven't read the book. Like, I haven't read the book, but I kind of sort of picked up, so I was a little confused by certain things. It wasn't until I got the booklet that they actually hand out, I think, after the screening.
Oh, okay.
It sort of tells you, and these are going to be handed out when it gets released in cinemas next month. It's going to, like, it sort of goes into each of the stories, like what each of the plots are about, which characters show up in each of the stories, because there is one character who appears in 9 of the 17 stories, but the thing is, he's played by 9 different people.
Okay.
So it can be a little confusing about who it is, but I think once you sort of have this booklet, it's sort of like a helpful guide. So if you haven't read the novel, you can just look back and think, oh, this character showed up in this one and stuff, and this story is set before this story and stuff like that. But I just loved it. I thought it was an incredibly ambitious film. And I love ambitious films, and I just loved it. I think it's one of the best films I've seen so far this year. Whether it'll be my number one by the end of the year, I'm not sure, but it is being released in Australia at the end of September, but it's only being released for about 2 weeks in a special event screening.
Okay.
So it's only being shown for 2 weeks, so if you have the chance, definitely check it out, because I think they're going to do, like, give out the booklet that I have, that they gave out the screening here at the beginning of the film, and as well as going to have some of the actors and filmmakers will show up at some of the screenings to do Q&As, and they'll also have an intermission at the middle of the film, since it's, you know, a 3-hour-long film. And it's an amazing film, and I definitely highly recommend everyone to check out.
Very interesting.
What else did I see at the store? I saw a lot of really great films. One, of course, is probably one of the most talked about, is The Act of Killing, which is this amazing documentary that sort of has a story that it's kind of hard to believe. Like, you wouldn't think this was real, but it's sort of like this documentary director by the name of Joshua Oppenheimer. He goes to, I'm just getting the Wikipedia page up, so forgive me.
That's all right.
He goes to, which way?
Pete doesn't even remember.
He goes to this country where, I can't begin to figure that out. I have to get my myth booklet out now, so you can probably edit this part out of the film.
No, we're keeping it in just so people know that you're very forgetful.
Yes, I am very
forgetful. But we forgive you.
It has been weeks since I've seen this movie, so. But, where is it? I'm looking through it. Oh, yeah, it's a sort of, okay. Oh, well, he goes to this country and he meets these sort of, Indonesia, sorry. He goes to Indonesia and he meets these people who were, these gangsters who were involved with this, with these death squads that have, were responsible for the genocide of like over a million people in Indonesia. And so he gets these people, and these gangsters are like real cinema buffs as well, which is actually really interesting. And so he decides to actually document them as they decide to film what they did during the genocides in their own little movies. Like, they sort of do them in their own ways, like some are done in sort of Western style, some as a musical and stuff like that. And through making these films, they sort of start to realize, like, they finally graspable what they did. Like, and especially watching, like, some of the footage that they made afterwards, and they realize how terrible of this, that pretty much makes them realize of the terrible things they did, like how and all that. And it's such a fascinating film. There's like 2 versions of the movie out there. I think the one I saw at the festival was the 2.5-hour extended cut, but there is also like a 2-hour version as well. So I haven't seen the 2-hour version, but to me, The Act of Killing is one of those important films that needs to be seen, and it's one of the best I've seen this year. And there's all other great films I saw. I saw Waja, which was this the first film that was made entirely in Saudi Arabia, which was this wonderful little film that I absolutely love. So definitely check that out. And other ones I did see was The Spectacular Now, which is this sort of indie teen romantic drama, which I thought was terrific and would actually make a great double bill with one of my favorite films from last year, The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Yeah, it's funny. Our good friend Garrett actually asked me if I'd seen it, and I said no. And he said, well, I'm looking forward to what your reaction is because I'd love to discuss it with you. So, yeah, it's definitely on my list after he brought that up and you told me that it would, yeah, make a good double feature with that movie. So, yeah, definitely looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's beautifully well acted. The two leads are Miles Teller and Shailene Woodley are terrific. And there's sort of like there's a lot of honesty and sort of rawness to it as well. And it also is quite funny, but also quite moving as well. Other ones I did like Prince Avalanche, which is the new film from David Gordon Green, which stars Paul Rudd and Emile Hirsch. I really enjoyed this one a lot. And other ones, oh, there's just so many movies I like from the festival. Other ones like Father Like Son, which was this great film from Japan, which I thought was terrific. I also saw Fruitvale Station, which was this powerful little drama with two amazing performances from Michael B. Jordan, who was in The Wire and Chronicle, and also Octavia Spencer. That sort of got a lot of buzz as of late, and I could definitely see it getting like a lot of Oscar buzz around Oscar time and all that. And also, one of my faves from the festival, which is a film that just opened up in the US just over the weekend, was Your Next, which is a pretty awesome horror film, which is both pretty intense but also surprisingly and darkly funny as well. And it's just awesome. And also, it's a movie that has an Aussie actress at the center of it, Shani Vincent. And she's fantastic. And it's definitely a breakout role for her. This is going to, open a lot of doors for her because just how awesome her character she is in the film.
Cool.
And I saw a lot of good ones, like Drinking Buddies was this really good comedy. I saw A Hijacking was this great and compelling sort of Somali pirate thriller. And I saw one that I think is a film. I'd be interested to hear what you make of it when it eventually comes out, is The Congress. Because I watched it and I thought, oh, this is so much a Marcy movie. And it's kind of a trippy but very interesting sort of satire slash live action slash animated film. And I'm not going to say it's perfect. Like, I think it's sort of sluggish in the middle part, but there was a really interesting elements that pop up in that one, and as well as a really emotional core at the center of it, which I have found quite moving. And, there's a lot of other great stuff I saw. That's just so many to go through at the moment. So. But you can actually check out I did some video reviews on all the films I did see at MIFF this year, so you can check those out to hear further thoughts on all those films. And those were pretty much fresh in my mind at the time, so I sort of remember those a bit clearly since it's been a few weeks since the festival.
Let's move along just to some other bits and pieces that we've seen. I haven't seen a hell of a lot of stuff just because I've been not the best. I did manage to finally catch Elysium, which I thought was awesome. I really liked it a lot. It's definitely not District 9, but it does have, a lot of that political subtext. I don't know if you want to call it subtext, but it's pretty much on the surface. It's really there about what he's trying to say, social commentaries and stuff like that. But then you can look at it as well as just a really good sci-fi action movie. One of the things I found weird was Jodie Foster's accent.
Yep.
I don't know what she was going for. And, the standout would definitely be Sholto Copley. I can't say his name.
Yeah, Sholto Copley.
From South Africa. he's got a very cool... I think he put on his accent a bit heavier, but yeah, he's really, really good. He's sort of a villainous type of role. Emma Damon's really good, and there's I thought it was really good. I'd probably rate it like 4 out of 5. I had a good time with it. And then what else did I see? I caught, I'm saying a lot, don't mind me, I'm out of it. I watched Where the Mill Is, and that's a film I wasn't totally, like, excited for. I felt the trailer wasn't very good, and I thought it's probably giving away a bit too much, but it was a surprise, actually. The trailer didn't really ruin the movie. There were still some pretty good jokes in there. So, yeah, I found it entertaining for what it was. The kid from Son of Rambo, who plays the teenage boy in the movie, I thought he was the standout, and I didn't even realize
it was
that
really
guy.
Is the kid from Son of Rambo?
It is. It's like the little shithead kid from that movie.
Wow. Musk, you just literally blew my mind.
Yeah. Me. When I found out, I was like, holy... Whoa. Same kid? That's mind-blowing. He's kind of grown up a bit.
I just have to see this movie now just to see him in it.
Yeah, he's pretty good in it. I thought he was definitely the standout. But, yeah, everyone was really, really good in it. And, yeah, there's some good laughs. It's, you know, it doesn't take itself seriously. When it gets a little too silly, it kind of lost me a bit. But, yeah, not a bad way to spend the afternoon. I'll let you talk about a couple of things you've seen then.
Okay, I did see other movies during MIF. I did see Now You See Me.
Do you really?
Yes, I did. Now You See. And I thought it was enjoyable. I don't think it's a great movie, but it is a great movie by any means, but it's, you know, for what it is, it's enjoyable. And it was interesting watching that movie with an audience, especially when something happens in the last half of the movie, to see everyone's reaction. Everyone was like, what the fuck?
Cool.
And, I thought everyone did a pretty solid job, and, you know, there's some pretty... It definitely was an enjoyable and entertaining film. So, I mean, it could have been better, but in terms of character development and stuff like that. But overall, I thought it was a pretty solid film. What else did I see? Oh, yeah, I saw The Way, Way Back, which I really enjoyed.
Oh, yeah, I saw that as well. I thought that was really, really good. I liked that a lot. I had no idea, like, going into it, what it was even about. So, yeah, really good surprise.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good film, and I thought the cast all did a great job. But to me, of course, is... Yeah, Sam Rockwell is definitely the standout.
Yeah, he was.
Like, he steals every scene he's in.
Yeah, he's so good. Role is just, like, perfectly suited to him. And it is a kind, like, coming-of-age story. I actually really look forward to seeing it again.
Man, me too. Also, one movie which I did see, but I absolutely hated it, was The Bling Ring, which is Sofia Coppola's new movie.
Oh, you went and saw The Bling Ring.
Yeah, I hated this movie. I don't know if whether I just hate the movie or I just hate the little shitheads in the movie. I just hate it. These had the, like, I think there's a lot of interesting stuff, because The Bling Ring, of course, if you don't know, were a group of these high schoolers who went around to celebrity houses, like, Orlando Bloom, Paris Hilton, and other people, and they sort of broke into their houses and stole all their stuff. And this is sort of like the movie version of that. But there's a lot of interesting things I think the film could have took on, and it could have easily been a really good sort of damnation on our celebrity-obsessed culture, especially with young people. But I didn't feel like... I feel like Sophia took too much of a step back and too much of a distance from it. I guess in a way she wanted to do an even-handed approach, but I feel like there was just it just came off really bland and uninteresting, and it just was just boring. And also the characters in the film are like some of the most annoying, pretentious little shitheads I've seen in a movie in quite a while.
Not
it's
me.
Like it's like Willie Scott from Templar Tomb, but times about 4 or 5 minutes. That's how annoying they were.
Lovely.
I thought the characters in the film represent everything I hate about some celebrity obsessed people. But I suppose in a way the movie kind of succeeded at that. But at the same time, You can still have that, but also make them interesting as characters, but I don't feel like the movie ever did that at all.
Okay.
And I think the closest they ever came to it was probably Emma Watson's character, especially in the third half of the film, but other than that, yeah, I hated the Bling. I think some people may enjoy it, you know, but for me, I just hated it. I hated these characters, and I just found it annoying and obnoxious. Mm. But, and other stuff I watched, because I have, like you said earlier in the podcast, I've had family visiting for the past couple of days, and my nephew and I have been watching a lot of films, mostly kids' stuff, but, you know, films that I've been wanting to see for a while, but I haven't had the chance to see. One was Puss in Boots.
Oh, okay.
Which, of course, is the spin-off of the Shrek series with the character of Puss in Boots.
He's awesome, because I love that character.
Indeed, and this movie is awesome. I loved it. I just absolutely loved
it. It's pretty cute. It's
even better than the last two Shrek movies.
Which isn't hard to do.
Exactly, but it seems like with those last two Shrek movies, it just seemed like they were just going through the motions, but this one you can definitely tell had a lot of passion and all that in it.
Mm.
And it's just hugely fun. I just had a great time watching it. I think there's a lot of interesting stuff that's in it. And also Zach Galifianakis, he plays like Puss in Boots' former sidekick, Humpty Dumpty. He does a great job with his voice, but also his character is really interesting as well. And it's just a lot of fun. I just had a ball watching it. And also one I saw called DC Lego Batman, the movie DC Heroes United, which is a pretty long title.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Batman movie done with Lego. Lego characters. But surprisingly enough, it's actually surprisingly pretty good. And it's sort of like the Joker and Lex Luthor sort of team up, and Batman and Superman have to team up to stop him. Well, it's mostly Batman for a while, and eventually, you know, has to work with Superman. It's actually surprisingly a really entertaining movie, and I definitely would actually recommend people to check it out.
Cool.
I mean, yeah, it's sort of like, I suppose people would be put off of, it's a Lego movie.
Yeah, but the games are so damn cute.
Yeah, well, it's actually a lot of fun, and there's actually some surprisingly funny moments in it as well, and it's actually pretty well written, for a Lego movie, I guess. But and also, you can't go wrong with Clancy Brown as the voice of Lex Luthor.
No, that's always awesome.
Yes, and also I saw Ice Age 4: Continental Drift, which of course is the fourth. Film in the Ice Age series. I was going to make a joke there, but I flubbed it at the last second. So, but yeah, I thought it was a solid movie. Like, it's not a great movie, but I thought it was just enjoyable. Like you know, these type of movies aren't meant to be sort of like, you know, they're not Pixar-esque films, but you know, for what they are fun. I thought this one was pretty fun as well, and there's a lot of sort of cool, really good sub actors doing voice roles in this one, especially like Peter Dinklage as the villain. And a couple. Yeah, so overall, those are sort of major films I've been watching as of late, for the last couple of weeks since Myth.
Yeah, I've seen a few kids' movies because of Lily. I mean, I've seen Monsters, Inc. like a billion times. I've watched all sorts of Barbie movies. I've started getting her into watching some Monster High movies. Despicable Me all the time as well. I think we watched Brave. We've probably watched Tangled a few times. So, yeah, a lot of those. Let me think. Yeah, a couple other movies I've seen. I watched another documentary. Well, I've watched a lot of documentaries, but this is the one that I really remember, because my mind's a blur. I watched one called Terms and Conditions May Apply, which pretty much examines like what you agree to when you sign up to use Google or Facebook or whatever. And they sort of go further into what these things mean and say what the government decides to do with the information, or what the information that you put out there means to like companies that want to advertise or, you know, user-specific ads. So if you've put in on Google that you like something, well, then you're going to get ads that show up that you like this thing and about how valuable those kinds of information is. And there's a lot of interesting things on it. So, yeah, if it comes up, I would definitely say check it out. It actually just makes you terrified of going on the internet because you're like, oh, my God, I typed in serial killer. Now the cops are going to see my Google search and think I'm a serial killer. Because those things have actually happened. Not specifically like that, but, you know.
Yeah.
Things have happened where someone's written a tweet and then they get held up at an airport for terrorism or something. It's like, really?
Yeah, the internet is a pretty terrifying place, honestly. I should know I was at the wrath of, like, Twilight fans, like, years ago.
But, yeah.
I think I just wrote something about Twilight for my tweet and I had, like, 10 followers just based on Twilight.
Yeah. Things like, yeah, I mean, it's very eye-opening and does make you think, so... Yeah, that one's worth checking out. And one I watched yesterday, I watched the new Nicolas Cage and John Cusack movie, The Frozen Ground. And no, it's not like a Con Air reunion because they don't really share much screen time or anything.
Although that would be awesome if it
were. Yeah, this one actually has Nicolas Cage's like most quiet performance for a very long time. There's no crazy. He's actually very serious and he's very good in it. And it's a true story movie about Robert Hansen, who was a serial killer who was active in Alaska, where he would actually like abduct women that he probably didn't think would be missed. And he would sort of, you know, do really bad things to them and then take them on a plane where he would go out into the middle of nowhere and chase them down and shoot them and kill them. So, yeah, so this one's about, the girl that got away and people don't believe her at first. And then Nicolas Cage's character gets involved. So they try and, you know, they want to bring justice to her and to the other victims as they try to find out like just how many there were, and how they can actually get a conviction on this guy. And John Cusack's not in it a lot cause he plays the serial killer, but he's definitely very creepy in it. Cause he kind of like, gives off those normal vibes, but then you see him like being all like totally creepy and it's like, but yeah, I thought it was pretty good actually, for like a real life serial killer movie. It's not disrespectful. It kind of pays respect to what happened. It isn't like spit in the victim's face or anything. You know, and I think the material's handled pretty well. I mean, it is very procedural and you have seen these kinds of things before, but I mean, I think it's definitely worth checking out. And Vanessa Hudgens, who plays the survivor, she's really good in it. I thought she was the standout. And it's good to see her, you know, try to change her image by taking on different roles and not, you know, taking her clothes off in the middle of a performance like somebody recently basically did and it's all over the internet. But, yeah, I hope she continues to tackle interesting and different roles. Because there's a very good actress in there.
I always liked Vanessa Hudgens. Like, I always thought she definitely had something in terms of acting ability and all that. So, and I like that she's been at least choosing more interesting projects and rather than, you know, doing something crap, I suppose.
Yeah, I thought she was really good. If I'm saying that she's the standout, yeah, you know, it's got to be something good.
I suppose if you want to see Nicolas Cage, I mean, not exactly Johnny Cusack, sorry, being, like, a really slimy, evil person. Watch The Paperboy, and you'll never look at him the same way ever again.
Yeah, I need to check that out. And if you want to see him doing his best Nicolas Cage, watch The Raven. Kind of
The Raven.
Somehow fits. And if you want to see Nicolas Cage acting normal, see this movie. I was, like, shocked. I think John Cusack had, like, one crazy Nicolas Cage moment. I don't think Nicolas Cage really had a Nicolas Cage moment. So, yeah, I mean, if that movie comes up and you sort of like, you know, drama movies, things based on real events, yeah, pretty good. Oh, yeah, one more I saw that was a TV movie. based on a real thing that happened, is Tall Hot Blonde, which was directed by Courtney Cox, funnily enough. And I've seen the documentary of the same name, so I was familiar with the story. And the movie actually goes through the events in a decent enough way that it doesn't really change a lot, but it puts it forward so it can actually be a movie. Yep. Without completely adding in, like, heaps and heaps of stuff. And this one has Garrett Dillahunt as the main character. He's, like, this middle-aged, impotent house husband who ends up becoming obsessed with this girl on the internet. And in the end, this ends up with someone getting killed and there's a bit of catfishing going on. And it's a pretty good TV movie. I'd recommend it. I think it was on one of the channels on Foxtel.
I think it was Universal.
Yeah, I was going to say it was a lame one. But yeah, it surprised me that it's actually a really good sort of made-for-TV movie. And yeah, Courtney Cox, I think, did a pretty good job with directing, and she's got a small part in it.
Yeah.
So she did impress me there. And the actual documentary about it, I mean, it is more interesting because it goes into a lot of detail, but yeah, as a double bill, yeah, you'll be like, geez, the internet's very fucked up.
I actually saw that movie too, funnily enough. I haven't seen the doc yet, but I did like this film a lot, and I do agree it's a really interesting choice for Courtney Cox to choose as her directorial debut. Like, she could have played it safe, but I like the fact that she chose something that's a bit more, darker for a first film. And also, you know, Garrett Dillon, I think, did a really great job as well, and he's a very underrated character actor.
Yeah, I mean, we did a recent piece on, well, not you, but B and yep. I did a recent piece on the site about our top that guy actors, and it was pointed out on Facebook from Zara that Garrett Dillon is definitely a that guy. And he definitely is, although I think now, because he's on the TV show, I think people refer to him as, like, that guy from Raising Hope. But for me, for ages, he was, like, that guy from the Sarah Connor Chronicles. Because he played the Terminator.
Oh, yeah. I think I was first saw him in No Country for Old Men, because he was in a small...
He sort of pops up in a lot of things, and... You know, he's the lead in this, and he's really, really damn good. Like, he plays this very sad and very obsessed kind of person.
Mm. I agree. He sort of, that character sort of has, like, he could have easily made it a very, like, straight-up evil character, but I think he brings a lot of empathy to the character.
There's a lot of sympathy, and you kind of understand a little bit.
While at the same time not, you know, condoning what he did. Like,
You're sort of, as you're watching it, you're like, oh my god, please stop what you're doing. Please stop. This is not good.
Exactly.
Mm.
But yeah, that was a pretty solid movie.
Hmm.
And definitely want to check out the documentary as well.
Yeah. It's done really interesting because they talk to the character that he played, the real guy, but they also go over, like, the text transcripts. And you'll see that they actually used some of those in the film. And you'll see, like, what they changed, and you'll understand, like, why they made some of the changes they did. But, yeah, it ends up being a very messed up story, and I think it's a hell of a lot more compelling and even a lot sadder. And it does have, it is a cautionary tale, and I think it does it a lot better than the film Catfish did. But since then, this sort of thing has become, like, it's known as catfishing, so...
It's in the vernacular now, Marcy.
Yes. I call it catfishing.
I'm catfishing people right now because everyone thinks I was for a while there. I catfished because everyone thought I was a purple dinosaur, if you remember.
You're currently Bart Simpson.
I was currently Bart Simpson.
I don't know what your thing is right now.
I'm just me at the moment.
Oh, that's right, yes. You're people with the chicken award.
Yeah. People were very disappointed when they found out that I wasn't a really fat Bart Simpson.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's pretty much all the stuff I've seen.
I think, I mean, when we get back, hopefully we would have seen some more stuff.
Yeah.
And we are planning to do a movie swap podcast with our good friend Dom, where once Bede, you know, has time and his family aren't around.
Well, they'll be, they're in here until next Monday. So
next week, you could almost sit through 3 hours of Caligula.
I know, and that'll be the most, I'll be like, I'll just use that picture I used when I found out seeing clips of Miley Cyrus's V&A performance. Bee's reaction to watching Caligula and to show that shocked look I had on my face.
And I should say, for the record, Bee really wants you to see it as well.
We should do an audio commentary for that bit.
And Dom's given me The Night Flyer, which I'm looking forward to watching, and I believe you've given him Shaun of the Dead, a movie he keeps refusing to watch, but now he has to.
But everyone has tried to get him to watch that movie. I just simply asked him, and he said yes, so I don't know what it is.
You have powers over him, apparently.
It's because he just wanted to piss off AJ, I'm not sure, but it's something.
Well, hopefully we're looking to get this podcast done sometime in September, once we get time to actually watch the movies. So, yeah, look for that one. And then, obviously, we'll be heading into October then, so we'll have, like, horror-themed podcasts. We'll try and get as much as we can done. So, yeah, hopefully podcasts will become a little bit more regular, hopefully.
If not, I might have to go solo and just dedicate an entire podcast to me. Or
I was going to say, you should dedicate it to Denny from the room. Oh, hi, Denny.
What drug?
You're not my fucking mother.
You stole my line. I was going to say that. I just like to watch you guys.
Could
I think
be
John,
Denny?
I think John Cusack should play Denny here, but I don't care.
You should do a live reading of the room.
That'd be awesome. Oh, yeah, I should remind people I'm Dutch. It's been a few weeks since I last did it, but I will be bringing back my bad movie Twitter bond very soon, since I've been so busy the last few weeks.
Do you have any options you're thinking of for the next one?
I already know what I'm watching, because the people have asked me to watch the Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 2.
Oh, lovely.
So that was from a few weeks ago. So it's been a month since I put that post up.
I have been thinking of maybe doing another live tweet soon, but I'm not too sure on what I might do it on.
Sharknado?
No.
I might do that as a special end of the year one, Sharknado.
I'll work something out. I wouldn't mind doing that, because live tweeting is a lot of fun. The last one I did was Con Air, which was an absolute blast. Such a fun movie. Again, it was Nicolas Cage and John Cusack.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to get back into actual. I'll get back to my bit like that movie tweet of Bond probably next week. So definitely look out for the article.
Awesome. And, yeah, I think that's a wrap on this podcast. It's a bit of a brief one, and there's lots of ums, and we're, like, half out of it. So, yeah.
It's late at night on air, and so.
Yeah, I'm usually in bed by this time, like, watching a documentary half asleep.
And I'm exhausted from looking after my nephew all day.
Yeah, I'm exhausted from looking after my niece all day, who was a little shit. Very, very much annoying.
We should let them have a play date. They can tucker each other out.
Yeah, they are. I mean, he's four, she's, you know, before early next year, so not that much of an age gap. So they can relate to each other's kid problems.
Exactly.
I want that toy!
As long as, like, she doesn't try to steal his motorbike, so that's all.
No, I think they're too boyish for her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a wrap from us. You can find us on supermarcy.com or on Facebook under facebook.com/sm.com/superpodcast. You can follow my Twitter account at twitter.com/supermarcy. You can follow Bede's Twitter account at twitter.com/BedeJermaine, or you can look up BedeJermaine on Facebook and add him as a friend, or you can just go send him hate mail, because it's totally okay as well.
Indeed, you can just tell me how terrible I am in written form.
Yes, and yeah, that's it. So yeah, take it easy, everyone. Hopefully we'll be back very soon. And yeah, try and watch some interesting movies, I guess.
Indeed. Just in my case, just really bad ones.
Yeah, and I'll just try and watch stuff. I don't know where I'm going with this conversation because I'm out of it. All right, then. Yep. Catch you later, guys.
See you, everyone.